Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 21st day of March. You're listening to KCW Sitka. It's 11 minutes before the hour. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. A member of the Obama administration spent the day in Sitka on Tuesday. Arthur Butch Blazer is Deputy Undersecretary for Natural Resources and the Environment at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's the branch of the USDA that oversees the Forest Service. Blazer is making his way through Southeast to see the Tongass National Forest and meet with local officials. His Sitka visit was only for the day, but included a meeting with the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council. Blazer says the tribe's concerns are in line with those of other rural Alaska officials that he's met.
They're concerned about jobs. They're concerned about how to provide for their families. They're concerned with energy costs. Their concerns with subsistence issues, how do they continue to feed their families? All of those concerns are either directly or indirectly related to the great and tremendous natural resources of this area, which the Tongass plays a huge role in.
Blazer did not address specific issues such as Sea Alaska's selection of Forest Service land around Redoubt Falls. He said this is his first visit to Southeast and he's spending it listening and learning. Other stops on Blazer's journey through the Panhandle have dealt with more specific issues. In Ketchikan, he addressed forest management and the way resources on the Tongass can translate into new economic opportunities. KRBD's Deanna Garrison sat down with Blazer on Monday and filed this report.
Butch Blazer has been on the job since October. This is his first visit to the country's largest national forest. Blazer says there are a number of important forest management and restoration issues on the Tongass.
I'm up here to learn, to gain a much better understanding of what is happening here in Southeast Alaska. And for the whole purpose of the better connecting Washington, D.C. to the field and enabling us to be much more supportive of what's going on here in Southeast Alaska, because these issues are very complex.
During his trip to Ketchikan, Blazer met with a timber cluster group and visited a wood pellet plant in Ward Cove. He says the administration recognizes the importance of development of biomass energy in the region.
Looking at woody biomass development in this country is one of the things, one of the pieces that President Obama has in his strategy, looking at all alternative energy sources in regards to meeting the energy demands of this country. And looking at Southeast Alaska, this is a very important piece, is that utilization piece. How can we look at utilizing woody biomass to help meet the energy needs of this particular area and for the country?
The federal government has begun utilizing biomass boilers throughout the region. In Ketchikan, the Federal Building and Southeast Discovery Center have converted to biomass. The city of Ketchikan is putting a biomass boiler in its new library, which is currently under construction. As local officials have discussed converting, concerns have arisen over whether there will be enough timber production in the Tongass into the future to supply a wood pellet plant. Deputy Forest Supervisor for the Tongass, Tricia O'Connor, says there is enough woody waste with the existing mills in Southeast.
What's missing is the link between that woody waste that's at the mills and a product that people can use. In other words, there isn't a large-scale pellet manufacturer in Southeast yet. So that link is still missing, and that has to be part of the equation.
She says a timber industry, conservation groups, and government officials are working together to develop a woody biomass industry that would utilize timber from restoration projects throughout the region. Laser says he's been impressed by the level of collaboration between user groups in the Tongass.
And that's one of the things that I've found so encouraging in the short time that I've been here, is learning of these very strong, diverse working collaboratives. As these issues are addressed on how we're going to get to where we need to be, you know, how do we find solutions to these gaps that are in place at this point, that has to be done in a very collaborative manner in order to get the buy-in from both the environmental community and the industry community. But in doing that, the people that are going to benefit are the local communities, the people that actually live in these forested communities.
In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
Blazer is scheduled to be in Juneau today to attend the Federal Board of Subsistence meeting. There's a new environmental group on the Tongass National Forest. It's called the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, and it's partly the result of some differences among longtime advocates for fish and wildlife habitat protection. The new organization is taking a different approach than the region's largest conservation group, though there is common ground as well. Matt Lichtenstein filed this report.
Right now, the board of seven, we have combined nearly over two centuries of experience working on Southeast Alaska conservation issues.
Sitka fisherman and attorney Paul Olson is board president for the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, or GSAC. The board includes scientists, fishermen, and conservationists from Sitka, Juneau, and Petersburg, as well as a University of Montana biologist with extensive field experience in the Tongass. They had a meeting in Petersburg this month, and Olson's optimistic about building membership.
We've worked with a number of conservationists who will be interested in our group, so we feel that we can recruit a significant number of people who've been involved in conservation in Southeast Alaska immediately. And over time, we really want to cultivate people like fishermen and hunters, because that's really our emphasis, is on protecting habitat now rather than trying to restore it later after the damage has already occurred.
Olson says GSAC will work on a variety of issues, including alternative energy sources like heat pumps, which draw warmth from the air or the earth.
It's one of the best things we can do here, is really improve our use of alternative energy.
GSAC disagreed with a draft Alaska Energy Authority plan that recommended wood pellet stoves and boilers to heat homes and businesses. In a recent letter to the editor of the Petersburg Pilot, Olson raised concerns about the impact of wood biomass heat on climate change, asserting that it was neither clean nor carbon neutral. GSAC started speaking out on timber issues late last year. They raised several concerns about the Forest Service's proposed Tonka timber sale plan, a large project near Petersburg. The long-established Southeast Alaska Conservation Council also opposed the sale. Olson says several of his group's board members used to be with SEAC, but they differ on some issues, like SEAC's ongoing involvement with the privately funded Tongass Futures Roundtable. Olson says GSAC has been disappointed with the roundtable process.
Yeah, we feel it's in some sense bypassing the traditional public processes for forest management that have gone on through, you know, the laws signed by President Nixon 40 years ago,
the National Environmental Policy Act.
And we believe that's not a perfect process, but we believe it's the best process we have. It kind of ensures a fuller level of public participation. And over time, the roundtable, as you know, the timber interests have withdrawn. It's devolved into a smaller and smaller amount of groups. And we would like to see the issues that face the Tongass, whether it's alternative energy or old growth timber sales, be addressed with an improved public process and more transparency.
The roundtable originally included a mix of forest stakeholders who spent the past several years trying to find some common ground on often divisive forest issues. Mill owners, the state of Alaska, and several communities pulled out of the roundtable last year after expressing frustration it did nothing for the timber industry. Meanwhile, critics in the environmental community have been concerned about too much compromise from their side. Roundtable members don't see it that way. SEAC Executive Director Lindsay Ketchell describes the roundtable as a forum for hearing other people's perspectives. Ketchell points out that SEAC has a 41-year history in Southeast, and she says the organization and its membership remain strong. While SEAC and GSAC don't agree on every issue, Ketchel sees the new environmental group as a positive development.
This is not a weakening of our organization. And in fact, I just see this as strengthening our movement in general, that people are choosing to make an investment to build another organization that I think will be complementary and synergistic. And in the areas where that we may have some disagreement, that's okay. That's what life's all about, is different approaches, different styles. But in the end, I think it's just going to only help and improve and keep safe Southeast.
Despite some differences, SEAC's Ketchel and GSAC's Olson both expect their groups will be able to work together on common issues. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
A state court judge has vacated a scheduling order that called for the Alaska Redistricting Board to adopt a new redistricting plan by April 13th. The board asked Superior Court Judge Michael McConaughey to vacate his decision, arguing in part that he lacked authority to impose work deadlines on it. The board plans to meet next week to work toward adopting a new plan after the Alaska Supreme Court ordered the state's new political boundaries be redrawn, with greater deference to the Alaska Constitution. The board's goal is to have its work done by the June 1st candidate filing deadline. And the Alaska Earthquake Information Center reports a minor earthquake occurred in the state's Cook Inlet region, about 9 miles northwest of Anchorage. The quake occurred at 11:42 last night and had a preliminary magnitude of 3.8. It struck at a depth of about 25 miles. The center reports the tremor was felt in south-central Alaska, but there were no immediate reports of injuries or damage. The quake was centered 10 miles west-northwest of Elmendorf Air Force Base and 28 miles southwest of Wasilla. That's it for news for this hour. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.